The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. This month, we're going to be talking electronic magnifiers and what you need to know when purchasing one. Our guest is Frank Beard with Quintex of Asheville. That's what's coming up this month on Tech Tips. Magnifiers have been a valuable tool for people with low vision for many years. With a plethora of devices available to us, the options are endless. Quintex of Asheville has been helping people with low vision in the Carolinas for nearly 40 years. This month, we are talking with Frank Beard, owner of Quintex of Asheville, about his company and how he can help the low vision community.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Chris.
Hi, Frank, and welcome to Tech Tips.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Chris.
We're going to give you a little chance to talk about yourself before we start talking about your company. Who is Frank Beard?
Okay. Well, Frank Beard is a native North Carolinian, born and raised in Fayetteville. I've lived all over the state, Raleigh, Charlotte, and also Asheville. It's been a great career with what I've been doing, and I've enjoyed it, and I enjoy the state. I enjoy the people, and I do travel in both states, North and South Carolina. But as far as background, I graduated from NC State University with a degree in business administration. Never really used that, but I did apply that to some of the things that I did in sales.
So what made you want to get into low vision?
Back in my early days, back in the late 70s, I had a friend who sold educational material. Then we got involved with a company called Telesensory, which made low vision devices. We had that line, and I helped him with it in the beginning. Then we covered North and South Carolina. And eventually he said, I think you're more suited for the low vision blindness products than the educational materials. So why don't you take this over? So in 1994, I actually bought the company from him and off on my own. So still doing the same thing. But that's how I got started.
I know at one time you were based out of Raleigh, because I think that was where I first met you. I want to say Quintex Low Vision was the name of the company. Is that right?
Yeah, we started out Quintex of Asheville, but then we rebranded as Quintex Low Vision. Because nobody, what does Quintex of Asheville do? But Quintex Low Vision kind of gives it a little bit more, hey, you must work with people that are visually impaired. As far as the store in Raleigh, I've always had customers and clients say, why don't you open a retail location? And I thought, well, where would that be? Because at that time, I was in Asheville, and I had just bought a place in Lumberton, North Carolina. And we have our offices, our home and offices, Lumberton and in Asheville. And I thought, well, in some other areas in the country, they do real well. But I did not know how well we would do in Raleigh. But the folks at Industries there in Blind in Raleigh gracefully said, hey, why don't you come into our building? We'll give you the space. We won't charge you rent, but let you run your low vision store. So we did. And we had a run for about 3 or 4 years. And they were bought out by another industry. And said, well, I said, this is great. I've enjoyed it. And we did have a presence. So it was great to have a location where people could come to you. It gave us an opportunity to have people come to us, because if I go see someone, I can pretty much, before I see them, narrow down what their vision loss is and what their needs might be. But I have a lot of different companies and pieces of equipment, but having a store, I can have a lot of those pieces of equipment on display. And so I can take somebody from A to Z.
You've touched on this before, but to confirm, even though the company is called Quintex of Asheville, you actually serve North and South Carolina, correct?
That is correct. We do. That is our territory, North and South Carolina.
And travel pretty much anywhere within that region to meet with someone in their own environment.
That I have done. Dovetailing into the agencies we work with, I got to the point where we had a lot of agencies that were calling us and saying, hey, we'd like to have some of your equipment to share. And so we provided these folks with equipment. And now if someone calls me geographically, I will mention, oh, you live in Greenville, North Carolina. There is a agency called the Assistive Technology Program, and there are 7 offices throughout North Carolina. So I can tell them to go to that agency. They have a lot of our products, and in some cases, they will actually let them borrow those products and take home for 30 days. And that's a godsend for us, because people like Services for the Blind, they provide a service to people that are blind and visually impaired, but they don't have that type of program, nor do they have the monies to buy and place in each office equipment for these folks to take home with.
Most definitely. And it got me thinking, for someone who is new to being visually impaired themselves, or caring for a family member who is new to being visually impaired, what is the benefit to bringing the assistive technology to them to test drive versus them coming to you?
I like to talk to the individual. I have a lot of people, and that's another subject, that call me, and they tell me about who they know that has a vision problem. And I will ask them a lot of questions. I said, but I really need to talk to them, because with vision loss, a lot of people are concerned about who they deal with, and they also are in denial. And I'll be upfront with you. A lot of people that are newly vision loss is new to them. They don't know what to do. They think they can help them, but they can only help themselves. If I talk to them, I want to know where they're coming from, because a lot of people are in denial. But I tell these folks, I'll be glad to come to you, or you can come to me. So I'll leave that as an open option.
Tech Tips is on the North Carolina Reading Survey. Our guest today is Frank Beard with Quintex of Asheville. And Frank, I've been wondering, with your 35, 40 years of experience in the low vision community, what are some of the most common eye conditions you've helped people cope with through the use of assistive technology?
You know, there's macular degeneration, diabetic retinopathy, glaucoma. Anybody that has vision loss, if they have any usable vision, I might be able to take that vision and use magnification. They always have a sweet spot. We call it preferred retina loci. And that is a vision where someone says, I can't see straight ahead, or I don't have peripheral, but I have this little bit of vision right here. If they can use that vision to at least read the words or letters that are magnified, they have half the battle won. Now, the first thing that I tell people when I go out and do an evaluation, I said, look, I can't give you any vision back that you've lost, but if I can take what vision you have and help you use it, then so be it. But it's never going to be 100% clear. But the bottom line with someone who has a vision loss, it's not perfect. I can't give you any vision back.
There's nothing perfect out there.
It's a matter of finding something that would work, that you might work for you, and that's where I give everybody the benefit of a doubt. I want to make sure that they can use something before we go through that total process.
And with that said, what are some of the companies you represent?
There's some individual companies I represent that are all under one umbrella called Vispero, holding company. But the individual companies that are under that umbrella are Freedom Scientific and Optilec. They also have ZoomTex, and they have Magic. And these companies provide low vision and blindness products. But under other companies that I represent that are not under that umbrella, Eschenbach, Cloverbook, Low Vision International, which is out of Sweden, and all of these companies make text-to-speech devices. as well as electronic magnification devices. And what's new now is the incorporation of text-to-speech with the low vision device. And gosh, there are some really good devices out there that will give you both, and very portable and very inexpensive. So that's what I'm dealing with now. Now, when we talk about Zoom Text and software products, I typically refer them to other people that's their expertise. I used to handle these products, but I don't anymore. It just wasn't something we provided a lot of to individuals. So if I can't help, I like to send people to places where they can get help. And I guess one of the main reasons is money. A lot of folks don't have the money to buy this equipment. So there's agencies that will provide it for them free of charge. There are agencies that will loan it to them. Then they're other entities other than agencies that say Easter Seals or Lions Clubs, they have monies that they can provide this to people who can't afford it.
Because that is a one downside to not all, but a lot of assistive technology is that it is just so darned expensive. And the fact that there are agencies like the Lions Club or Easter Seals that will work with people. You mentioned the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program. Same way. They work with people to help them afford this technology that can give them back some of their independence.
And then you have Duke Eye Center, whom I've been working with over 30 years. They provide a great resource and that they're easy to get to. They have a doctor on staff. Of course, a lot of folks that go to Duke Eye for retina ophthalmology work, they also have a low vision clinic, so the docs can refer them to the clinic.
Yep.
And they have several people on staff there that can go from A to Z and do a very comprehensive exam. And they show equipment, and probably 90% of the equipment is there, is mine. And so they have an opportunity to see these devices.
It's funny, you mentioned Duke Eye Center and how you've been working with them for 30 years. I've been going there as a patient for almost 40 years. So
yeah, people will call me and I might say, if you are a patient at Duke or you're going to get an appointment with the low vision clinic. Geographically, I might be in Eastern North Carolina or Asheville, but even in Eastern North Carolina, I'm 5 hours from Outer Banks.
Yeah.
If I can refer somebody to an agency or to a location that has equipment, I certainly will do that.
So let me ask you this. When you go to a person's house or place of employment, how does that assessment process work and how does it begin?
I ask a lot of questions before I actually meet with them so that I can ascertain what vision they have left or what vision they don't have. I kind of handpick a few products to share with them. It's not like walking into a department store and seeing everything, because 90% of what they're going to pick up will not work for them. So I try to zero in on that. And it's a matter of questioning them about their vision loss, what they've used in the past, and then that gives me an indication, well, they might be a good candidate. But I can take two people, same age, same gender, same visual acuity, and same eye disease, and one person could say, I can see this really well. The other person couldn't see it at all. It all boils down to where your vision loss is. And unfortunately, there are people that might be 20/400 that are still driving, but they just need a little bit of magnification. There might be somebody that's 20/400 visual acuity, and they can't see light perception to count fingers. So everybody's different. And there's no two alike.
It also depends on your lifestyle. Are you an active professional or a student who's always on the go? Or are you someone that, stays at home and just needs something to help them read, the newspaper or magazine a little bit better, or the mail?
All of these pieces of equipment that will work for them, they all have a design that can accommodate what they're going to do. Let's take a student. Whether they're in grade school, high school, transitioning into college, typically they're in a classroom setting. So they need something that they can see the board with. And I have devices that will allow them to view the board and move it around, take notes. And then they can angle the camera back down to their work. And in doing that, that helps them in that school environment so that they can go to class and take notes and have access to what's in print. And some of these devices will do that as well as do audio, so they can actually take a live image of what's being said and have the audio recorded as well. And with the older populace, it's very similar. A lot of people say, well, I want to put my makeup up. I want to do this. I have those similar devices that are very portable. In the old days, these devices I handled were very heavy. They only had two models, a 12-inch CRT cathode ray tube device that weighed about 30 pounds. And I had another one weighed about 60 pounds, 19-inch, black and white. But people now want portability. And with the aging populace, they're moving into retirement communities. And so I find that these smaller devices that they're small, but they still come with 17 to 22-inch screen and can weigh 19 pounds or less. That can accommodate them.
I can remember the first CCTV I ever tested. And I was a sophomore in high school, and they brought it to the house. And this thing was a monster. I mean, it was Godzilla, basically, because it was a giant, 20-plus-inch monitor sitting on top of a movable flatboard. And, when you're sitting at the kitchen table trying to use this thing, it's a monster. It's huge. Yeah. And now, at one time, I had a device that was a color camera that I literally just plugged into the USB port on my laptop, and boom, I had a CCTV.
Exactly. And that's technology has come a long way, and it's for the best, especially with monitors, because back in the old days, cathode ray tube, the old glass gas monitors, that's all we had. But then with the onslaught of flat panel monitors, it has changed the world, because now you can mount these monitors on an arm that the bracket will move up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of putting it on a desk and someone's 4'11 versus someone that's 6'2, you can bring the monitor closer to you and the camera stays fixed.
Yeah.
Allow someone to have visual contact at eye level in the center of the screen.
Yeah, and that doesn't even touch the area of wearables.
Yeah. There are a lot of them out there, probably represented 90% of the companies that have wearables. And it's very limited with someone's vision. Not here again, we go back to not everybody's vision is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found that everybody wants to put on a pair of glasses and be like normal. Well, I wouldn't be getting referrals from Duke and other doctors and entities if they could do that. With a wearable, I find that most people use them for distance viewing rather than reading. There's companies like Iris Vision, New Eyes. So I used to handle those, but I had so little clientele that could really use them that I said, it's not worth the expense of me investing a lot of money in these products. I'll just leave it up to the companies because they can, on a case-by-case basis, some of the companies on these wearables, they will give them a 30-day, they'll give them a trial period or maybe have a restocking fee to get it back.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. We are talking with Frank Beard today from Quintex of Asheville. Let's talk about the process that a client would go through after talking with you and setting up an appointment. What is that process like?
It's a matter of timing because geographically I might be in eastern North Carolina or in Asheville. And it depends on where they live, their time frame, my time frame. And so some people are in luck that I'm in an area that week. And so I might see them, 24, 36 hours later. Some people might be at a disadvantage because if I'm in this area, eastern North Carolina, I won't be back in Asheville for another 10 days. So, I will accommodate anybody that I can, if they can work with me. I do a lot of agencies, Services for Blind, Commission for Blind, South Carolina. They have a lot of referrals they will send to me because they don't have all of the equipment to share. And I will actually help them and go to their clients and share equipment. And so, but as far as this process, it's a matter of the questions I ask about their vision. That way, when I do meet with them, I can pull things out that I think might help.
Okay. once a person has made their decision on what piece of technology they want and they say, I want this product, how long does it usually take for you to get the product to them? And then what happens as far as delivery, setup, and support?
A lot of things that are trending, I'll keep in stock. So I can either get them stock out of my inventory and they can have it that day, or I'll order it and have it shipped in. And as far as training, if it's something more involved, like a text-to-speech device or more sophisticated electronic desktop CCTV, I offer training. If it's something like a handheld portable, electronic handheld magnification, I will go through showing them the product, how to use it. But on these handheld devices, I typically leave it to them. And I'm always available for consultation, no charge. In some cases where we have a lot of sophisticated equipment, I'll give them at least an hour's worth of time. And then I'm talking mainly for individuals. But for state agencies, they have people that can train these people with the products I provide. And as far as turnaround, if it's an individual, I can ship it to them, pull it out of the inventory, give it to them. If it's an agency that's going to buy something for them, if we have it in stock, turnaround time with agencies typically can be 2 to 3 weeks because we can act very quickly. We can get product, even if we don't have it in stock, we can get it to them in 3 to 4 days. But as far as going through the process of someone saying, well, they're going to buy this for me, they have to go through purchasing. They have to issue a purchase order. Mm-hmm. They send it to us, and then we provide the product. So it's a process. Individuals I can provide very quickly. Agencies I can provide, but it's not as quick because of the process that they have to go through in order to get the equipment from us.
Let's jump ahead to the next part of this as far as service and support. When someone purchases a piece of technology, if something happens to it, do they contact you or do they contact the manufacturer directly?
They contact me.
Okay. And you?
And typically on most units that are portable or transportable have a 2-year warranty. Usually the bigger units, the desktop units and some of the OCR devices have a 3-year warranty. And I'm available during the warranty period. I provide at no charge services to anybody, whether it's an agency or individual, that I will take care of it during the warranty period. Usually each manufacturer has a criteria where, if it has to be shipped back to them, the individual would have to pay for one-way shipping. They ship it back to them at no charge, but it's rare that I have any real problems with the device. If we do, it's usually an out-of-box failure. And I think the rule of thumb is something within 30 or 60 days, if something fails, then the manufacturer will warrant that product and not charge to get the unit back or send them a new one. But I will follow through with anybody that I provide equipment through agencies or directly to them under the guise of the warranty that the manufacturers have established.
Okay. What are some of the ways or all the ways that someone who would like to know more can get in contact with you?
They can call me direct.
Okay.
My cell phone number is 828-275-0510. We have a website, they can contact us through Quintex Low Vision, but it's Edna, my wife's first name, EDNA, at QuintexLowVision.com. If they want to see some of the products, now I don't have all of our products on the website, but they can go to Quintex, Quintex, LowVision.com, and they can visit our website. So that's three ways of getting to us, either email, website, and on the website we have our email. Also on the website, my cell phone number is on that as well.
Okay, good to know. Are you on Facebook or Instagram or anything, LinkedIn, any of the socials?
I don't know how to answer. My wife does all of that, so I think we are on Facebook. But as far as Instagram, I don't know. I'm not a real techie computer person. I leave it up to, I call Edna the boss because she takes care of that end of the organization.
Fair enough. Is there anything else that you would like to mention that I may have missed?
I think we've covered a lot. It's good to, I'm glad that you're asking these questions because these are things that I think of every day. Most people are asking me most of these questions when I talk to and interview people on the phone. I've been at this 36 years. Don't see any reason to retire anytime soon as long as my health is good. It's just gotten to the point I really enjoy it. I'm not getting rich, but I make a comfortable living and I enjoy what I do.
And that's the most important part. And I tell you what, with that, I am going to once again thank you for your time and talking with us today. It was greatly appreciated.
Well, Chris, thanks for inviting me on the show and just let me know how I can help.
Will do. Once again, I'd like to thank Frank Beard with Quintex of Asheville for his time. It was greatly appreciated. If you would like to reach out to Frank to learn more about his company or to schedule an appointment, there are several ways to do so. First of all, you can visit his website at www.quintexlowvision.com. And once again, Quintex is spelled Q-U-I-N-T-E-X. You can also send him email. His email address is Edna, and remember, that's his wife, E-D-N-A, Edna at QuintexLowVision.com. And finally, you can take it old school, pick up the phone, and give him a call. His telephone number is area code 828-275-0510. That number again is area code 828-275-0510.
The third annual Blind Health Expo is the world's largest virtual expo of the healthcare information, products, and services for individuals, organizations, and companies in the health, blindness, and disability communities. Hosted by Accessible Pharmacy, this 100% virtual event is completely free to attend. During the expo, you will have the opportunity to talk with representatives from many organizations and companies working with the blind and visual impaired community. Some of this year's exhibitors include American Printing House for the Blind, Orbit Research, Usher Syndrome Coalition, Lighthouse for the Blind, KMC Essentials, Innosearch.ai, and the International Association of Audio Information Services, of which the North Carolina Reading Service is a member. The Blind Health Expo will take place Friday, December 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., featuring scheduled presentations and a virtual exhibit hall where you can talk one-on-one with many of the exhibitors. To learn more about Accessible Pharmacy or to register for this totally free expo, visit accessiblepharmacy.com.
We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's something you'd like covered in a future episode, send an email to techtipspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. Tech Tips is available online by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have questions or comments about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org or give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.